I had aspirations 37 years ago. So I took a music composition class and spent weeks composing a piece that was to be played. And my calculations are right, it was about 37 years ago now. The day came, I passed out the music, all smiles with some anticipation, focused and ready to go. They raised their instruments, I raised my baton, and we started. It didn't take long for this 18-year-old boy to think, you know, this isn't that bad. This sounds pretty good. Well, I did have some consolation. It wasn't a masterpiece, but yet things were going fine. In fact, I started relishing the thought of waving my arms and playing music that I had composed. And through the just happiness of the moment and pride that I'd accomplished enough that it sounded reasonably well, I kept turning the page to my score and they kept playing. Halfway through my waving of my arms, I realized I had a problem. I was enjoying the piece, but I had lost my place. And in such a large score, I'm flipping the pages, but I don't have any idea where I'm at. Well, I realized that I had written the final phase of this for a percussionist who I was going to give the sign to ahead of time so she would know to play this solo on the chimes at the end. Well, we'll talk about that later. But what I learned that frightful day, I'm sorry to say, didn't stay with me very long, because time and time again, and speaking to you now, I'm having to talk on a subject that is personal to me. Thank you for all listening. We orchestrate our lives, we plan our steps, we chart our course. We forge ahead, or at least sometimes we do. Then somewhere down the road we stop, or someone stops us long enough that we look up, we look around, and we realize we're not sure where we're at. We've lost our focus, lost our place, and perhaps lost our purpose. And at this time in the talk, I could let this lesson become negative and hopeless. That just comes easy for me. Because my thoughts turned to Ananias and Sapphira. My thoughts turned to the young prophet on the side of the road, dead. But we're not going to go there today, because I'd like to talk to every Christian in this room for just a few moments. And then Alan is going to address at the end of our session today, our worship, those that are not Christians. I want to spend a few minutes on refocusing. And if focusing means prioritizing and concentrating and thinking first about what we do and what we say, then what does refocusing mean? For me, it just simply means that the circumstances in life for the moment have changed. Spiritually, let me just speak if you'll join me. That I have taken a step or two off the path, off the original course that I started out on. And whether it be tragedies, hardships, or someone else reminding me, my brethren, that I am then forced to look at myself in the light and determine and decide what changes need to be made to bring me back closer to God. Well, do I redirect, reclaim, recommit, recover, return? All of those things. And I wonder sometimes where to turn. Because if I look at the top 40 books that are sold every single month, I could pick several of those books, several of those top 40 books, that I can read, and those people are going to help me solve my refocusing problem. I can go there. There are other leaders, other places, that are more than happy to help me with my refocusing. And last, if I'm just a little bit off, I'm told by many that all I need to do is just look within myself. And I'll find my own answers. Well, Proverbs 21:16 seems to have an answer for me. And it tells me the person who strays or wanders, if you will, from the path of understanding, where he's going to come into the company of. And it's not good. And you know, when we start to step away from what's right, we might just jump off a cliff, but a lot of times we end up exactly where James tells us in the first chapter. That, you know, when things start to go wrong, I'm drawn away. And then I have lust, and then I have sin, and then I have death. And I just want us to realize that at any point during these steps, we can stop. We can turn around. We can go back. We don't have to keep heading in that direction. The scripture tells me that it is like a fire in Jeremiah 23, like a hammer that breaks rocks into pieces. In James 1, it tells me about it's a perfect law of liberty, and I'm going to be rewarded if I learn from it. And then in Hebrews 4, the word tells me that it is so strong and so powerful, it can spiritually divide soul and spirit. It can physically divide joints and marrow. And if I read it, and I study it, and I learn from it, it can discern my own heart for me. No other book or being can do these things. You know, when I read the Bible doesn't just in bold letters jump out and yell, caution. But I've got three little words as we're running through this quickly, that while you're reading the scripture, depending on what version, that if you look in Revelation 2, the church at Thyatira did some very good things. It talks about their deeds, their love, their faith, and their service, and that they did more now than they did at the first. And you know, if we stop, these are wonderful things, but the version that I'm reading says, nevertheless. Well, I don't use nevertheless very often. But nevertheless here means stop. God's not done talking about this church. And nevertheless, the problem is tolerance here towards sin, towards things that are wrong. Word number two that we do use. Whosoever keeps the whole law, James 2:10, yet breaks just one, he's guilty of them all. Well, that's hard to take, but it's true. And Ephesus, another church in Revelation 2. Hard work, your deeds, your perseverance, you've endured hardship in my name, yet you've forsaken your first love and you've fallen from where you were. Last word. Everything is permissible, 1 Corinthians 6 tells me. However, everything is not expedient. So I look at nevertheless, yet, and however. And to me, I need to interpret them today as caution, caution, caution. There are single words out of this road guide that separate the things that we do right from the things that we could or are doing wrong. And there is a vast difference between our right thoughts and wrong thoughts, the right way and the wrong way. And it's just like the Bible to use small little words to convey big differences in good and evil. Back to refocusing. One other small little word. It's found in 2 Peter 3:11. And the question is asked, what kind of person ought I to be? And it screams at me, ought? Well, yeah. You ought to be doing this and you ought to be doing that. My mother used to say that. And now I read the Bible as telling me that also. I'm going to say some pointed things out of Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. And I wondered if I should say them to you or not. Because I look at a wonderful, loving, Christian, devoted group. And I found myself, I don't know why, but I found myself, before I got there, in the 33rd and 34th chapters of Ezekiel. Again, why I went there, I don't know. I'm not Ezekiel, but God told Ezekiel, you're a watchman. And I'm putting you in charge of looking for the enemy. And you're standing on the tower, and if the enemy comes, it's your job to be looking and caring and seeing, and it's your job to go tell the people. If you don't tell them, you're in trouble. If you do tell them, and they listen, then I'm with all of you. But if you tell them and they don't listen, their blood is on their hands. And today, I believe that all of us that are Christians are watchmen. And if we're not on the tower, well, then perhaps we need to be refocusing. I just want to read a couple of verses quickly in that chapter, the 33rd chapter. Because this just talks to me so vividly. The righteousness of the righteous man will not save him when he disobeys. The righteous man, if he sins, will not be allowed to live because of his former righteousness. If I tell the righteous man that he will surely live, but then he trusts in his own righteousness and does evil, none of the righteous things he's done will be remembered. He will die for the evil he's done. But I, the Lord, will judge each of you according to his own ways. What that tells me is at one time I was focused. I was baptized 44 years ago. I was baptized, and I'm going along very well. And I'm in my seat, and I'm listening, and I'm paying attention, and things are going fine. And I've done a lot of good things, and I've helped a lot of people, and things are going great. And you know, somehow, some way, I find myself now just not quite following what I should be following. I'm thinking thoughts that I shouldn't be thinking. I'm going places that I shouldn't be going. And my list goes on and on. But you know what I think to myself? You know, God, look at all of the things I've done. Look at all the wonderful things that I've done for you. And God's going to say, if you're not living for me now, what you did then has got no bearing on where you're going to spend eternity. That's what that's saying to me. Well, if the path of righteousness is there for you, if your daily prayer life is deliberate and you have purpose with it, if your deeds are showing God and those around you that you generally care about others and their souls, if you're immersed in His Word and learning and sharing the Bible and what it has to offer, you're walking with God. You're focused. But if you're not, possibly you need to be. Hebrews 3. Before I got to Hebrews 3, and thanks to our study on Monday nights, I want to read the first verse of the second chapter of Hebrews. And it says to me, Dan, you're going to need to pay more careful attention to what you have heard so that you do not drift away. It's explaining to me that I better be focused because Paul, if he's the writer here, he's got some other things for me to concentrate on. He's got some other things that he wants me to pay attention to. And he wrote it a long time ago to some Jewish Christians. But in the 7th verse of the 3rd chapter, Paul looks at me and says, today. He says it 4 times to me in the 3rd and 4th chapters. He said, don't look at those Christians back then. Don't look at the Israelites that died in the wilderness. Dan, you need to pay attention to this today. What does he want me to pay attention to? Okay. Well, he's going to tell me something that I'm wondering, you know, I'll look at this, Paul, but this just doesn't have anything to do with me. Because he's talking about in verse 7, and he mentions a couple of more places, Dan, be sure as a Christian you don't harden your heart. He sits down, I think, in 13, don't be waylaid by the deceitfulness of sin. And then he says in 19, don't be a Christian with unbelief. And I stand before you that if you don't have this problem, that's fine. But I'm going to tell you what this problem is in 2008. Part of the time with me, and maybe part of the time with you. And that is that I have a thing that I love to watch the news. And I've got other things that go on around me. And time after time after time, I'm watching the bad things that happen. And you know what's happening to my heart? My heart is being calloused by the world and the things in the world. And not just sin, but, oh, you know, people are going to die. Things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen. And the list goes on. And really, by the time I'm done, my heart is not more than a shell of the things that I've seen. I've lost my sensitivity. I've lost my caring. I've lost my willingness to want to make a difference. And then, you know, where my next step goes? Sin's deceitfulness. I think, you know, if they can do it, I can do it. No, I'm not talking about the really bad things, but I'm just talking about the things that, that I just decided now aren't so bad. What I've decided, brethren, is that it's okay to be good. I'm a good person. I can tell you right now that Dan Stretch is a good person in this world. But I'm also going to tell you that when I decide good takes the place of righteousness, sin has deceived me and I am going to spend eternity somewhere I don't want to be. I don't like darkness. And then when I get done, and I decide that I've lowered my expectations, I've lowered my morals, I've lowered my ethics, I've lowered the Bible, then Hebrews 10 and 38 tells me that as a Christian, I've shrunk back. I don't believe the same things that I did before. I don't believe the same things that I've learned and was taught. Well, do I need some examples quickly, and then I'll finalize and I'll close. Am I spoiled through empty words? Colossians 2:8. Am I still drinking milk instead of meat? Hebrews 5:12. Are there hints in my life that I'm not the person I should be? Ephesians 5:3. Am I lukewarm? Revelation 3. Am I still a child in Ephesians 4 and I'm tossed and I'm blown and I can't decide where my Christianity stands? Do I think I'm something when I shouldn't be? Galatians 6. Well, Hebrews also talks about holding firm, being confident, making every effort, becoming mature. Encourage daily. And the very last re-word that I have for you that Alan will possibly speak to is reward. Refocusing is a cute little word with a cute, interesting little definition. And I want to tell you that when I wasn't focused and I stuck my finger out for her to play those chimes, she didn't play them. My focus was gone and the humiliation set in. I didn't have anything to say. I didn't know what to do. Oh yeah, we finished the piece, but it could have gone a lot better. My last story. I came to a stoplight the other day, and it just turned red, and it was a very busy stoplight, lights of turns, and so I was going to be there a while, and there standing on the corner of the street was about a 16-year-old boy with a white cane and a woman at his side. And I had seen that she had pulled away. He had her by the arm, and she had stepped away, and it was time for him to use that white cane if he wanted to. And he took a couple of steps, and he's tapping around, and he's listening for cars. And one more step, and he realizes he's off the sidewalk. And all he has is that white cane. He realizes he's in trouble. And he switches the cane over to his left hand, and he reaches out, and he grabs hold of this lady's arm again. I don't know about you, but I've stepped away from Christ. I thought that white cane could take me places. I need to close. I can't make it through life without him. And if it takes refocusing, then refocus. If it takes turning around, turn around. I'm sorry that the path is narrow, but God's not. We can't tolerate things in our lives that are wrong. Jesus said, "Hold my hand." He's not the one that lets go. We are. Hold to his hand and focus.